are listening to Building with Build Her, where we talk about all things building, whether it be building or renovating your dream home or developing for profit. We believe that building done the right way is fun. I'm Rebecca from Build Her Collective. Join us as we explore all aspects of this journey.
Hello, lovely builders. We have Alison Lewis here, and we're going to start a new segment called Delve Into Design with Alison Lewis, Interior Designer. She's a good friend to Build Her. She is a builder, a developer. She does her own projects. She consults on projects for other people. And we are super lucky because we get to have a robust chat about how we select materials. So we've got a whole heap of topics coming. We've got stone, flooring, tiles. I'm sure we won't run out of anything. Feel free to write us and let us know what you want to hear about. But we figured if we took one topic at a time but did it in kind of bite-sized chunks, we'd be able to kind of give you the information you need in a snapshot.
Sounds good.
Yeah?
Yep. Perfect.
Great. I know you use a lot of natural stone and I use a lot of natural stone.
That's right.
Why?
That's a really good question. I think I've kind of evolved over time. I started with engineered stone. It was kind of felt really familiar and comfortable. And then slowly I've worked into natural stone just because of the variance in the colour, the different stones available, the different applications. It just became my go-to natural stone over anything else, really.
Yeah, it's my go-to too. And I think it's some movement. I think it's that each time you get something unique, you get something different. You know, like when we talk about finishes, we're talking about tiles and, well, not so much floor if it's a timber floor, but like all these surfaces, and they're quite hard and they're pre-manufactured really most. But a natural stone has a really nice movement and it's got a play and it just gives a softness to a hard surface.
And it's different every time. Like no two slabs are the same, really. So it's nice to have that variance all the time and be able to choose the same stone, but it's not going to look the same every time.
So I buy my stone through Signorino Stone Gallery, actually. I've got a great relationship with them, and actually they look after all our builders.
Yeah, they're amazing.
If you want to go down there, speak to Sandra. Well, I always speak to Sandra. Speak to whoever you want, but tell them the builder sent you and they will look after you. But the reason why I use them is because I get to go to the warehouse and I really love what I see. I was in their warehouse the other day. There's 2 years since I've used this one, the Court d'Azur, which is what I used in the Bayview house. And it's completely different now. It's really dark and the kind of orangey, tanny tone that went through it is actually like it's just a completely different thing. And I wouldn't use it and it wouldn't look the way it looked if I use it now. But that's where it's so important to know what you're selecting and to actually be on site. So the movement is why I use it. When we talk stone, normally we're talking limestones, marbles, granites, there's probably a lot more. They're kind of the main ones that we look at.
Yeah, that's right. They're the three, I guess, we'd look at for a project.
And they've got varying hardness.
Absolutely, yeah. So your limestone's much softer, so it's your softer stone. And you've got your marble, which is, I guess, a bit more harder, but it's also more porous.
Yeah.
And then your granite, which is your super, super tough stone.
Yeah, so your traditional kind of Calcuttas and things like that, the very light marbles with the grey waves. They're your marbles. Your granites are kind of like the black bench tops, where I've got a really nice Taj Mahal in granite, which it looks quite different.
Well, they've come a long way since the 80s, your traditional kind of.
Not that reflective.
From your, you know, your typical 80s granite has come a long way.
I mean, I've got granite in my home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah. I love it for varying reasons, but I've also used limestone.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess for me, the key thing with these is I don't mind which one I use. I want to seal them.
100% sealing them. To prevent them from all sorts of different things. But keeping in mind that it is a natural stone. So, you know, if you bang a big pot against it, it probably will chip, but that's like any other stone is going to do that as well.
Even the harder ones, even the granites, yeah, will chip.
Yeah. So you still need to be careful
from
with
experience.
Them. Yes, that's right.
Too many kids to keep it clean. So the reason why I like it is because they weather and they age and they move over time. They patina, and that's beautiful.
They soften and, you know, just look at, you know, if you've ever been to Italy and the marble on the floor, it looks amazing. Like I love it.
Yeah.
It's just worn so beautifully over time. Yeah. And to have that in your home, I think that's pretty spectacular.
I think there's a point between when you get it freshly installed and it's all beautifully crisp and clean and there's not a single mark, to when you spill a bottle of lemon juice on it, which is really the issue, or, you know, mark it a little bit because over time it will mark.
Yeah.
And there's kind of that transition point to where you get that beautiful wear
from the original. So if you can deal with that, it's kind of like, oh, Tapware does it. It's other things that do it. It's kind of like a brand new pair of jeans. They look great when they're crisp.
They're wearing.
Like you've got that worn bit and then they're beautifully and comfortable.
Yeah, and they last a lifetime.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of these. When we select stone, they'll send you this tiny, weeny little sample.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
The tiny sample is hard. I love large format samples, but with the natural stone, obviously, they can't be sending us massive pieces to have a look at. So working off that piece can be good just to put together your materials, but I always love to go and select my slabs in person.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Because it's a natural product. There's variation across it. So I always go on their website. So I'll look up on, so hypothetically speaking, this is how I work. So I'll go on the website and I'll have a look at what they've got. I've got a whole, I do have a mountain of samples, but I'll look at something and then I'll look on their website and I'll go, okay, well, that's the specific slab. They've got a photo of how that looks.
That's
and
right.
How
that as a whole slab. Yeah.
Works. But then I need to go out and I need to see it. At that point, normally I change my mind and I go for something different.
Yes, sometimes it can look warmer, it can look cooler than you thought, it can look completely different. That's fine.
Why even bother selecting off the sample? But the other thing is that small square might be, you know, from the grain point, or it might be from a dark patch, or it might be a light patch, or, you know, these are natural quarries. So when they're cutting them out, they kind of cut them out in big blocks. Then they slice up those big blocks and they either hone them or polish them or treat them for what you get. So you get a series of slabs that look pretty similar because the grain will run through them as it moves across.
Yeah. It's like cutting a big piece of rock,
yes,
essentially, if you want to visualize how those slabs
are. Or a marble loaf of bread.
That's marble.
It is though.
No, it really is a marble loaf of bread. That's effectively what you're doing to create these slabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're kind of getting this great look. So you can get a couple of things. You can get two of these blocks will never look the same. So that's great if you want the movement like we do.
Yeah.
But if you want this kind of really consistent color, that can be more difficult to achieve. The other thing to think about is kind of how you do the joins, because obviously that's a bit more tricky. What do you like in a join?
What do I like in a joint? So I like to bookend my joins. So if I'm doing a vanity, for example, I did one recently and I had 100mm mitre. So that's basically where the front of it sits really thick. I wanted to make sure that what you could see on the face of it matched what you could see on the bench top.
It rolled over.
It rolled over. So the veins essentially met each other at that mitre point. And that's a bookend. So I always make sure that that is part of the process. And I like to be very specific with my stonemason about that, because not all stonemasons are created equal. And some will do it as just part of their process and others won't.
So a bookend for me when I'm thinking about it is you can get slabs that bookend. And what that means is they've been cut out kind of next to each other. The grain will match. So you'll be able to kind of turn them and have the grain roll up and then down and up and down. It will kind of match. Now, I have bought bookended slabs before, thinking this is great. I've got a really long bench, maybe 5.8 meters, I think it was, and it'll bookend and it'll just flow across. And then I've forgotten to tell the stonemason that I bought bookended slabs. So it was just joined normally. I mean, I don't mind the normal joint. Most slabs aren't bookended.
No, that's right. And I think it depends on what you want the end look to be like. Not like the bookend is not for everyone. Like it's quite a statement to bookend, especially if it's the veins really heavy or it's a really vibrant color. So some people might not like that look, but others find that, you know, to be really appealing, and that's the way that they want their two pieces of marble to sit next to each other.
So many considerations.
So many considerations. Yes.
So basically for us, what we'll do, and tell me if this is right or wrong. So we get the sample, we'll put that together with our mood board. We have a look online, we see what it looks like in a big piece, and we'll decide whether we would do. And then we book an appointment. I'll ring up Sandra and say, I want to go down to to see the warehouse. Signorina's in Altona, so that's where I'll go out. And then all the slabs are on display.
Yep.
And you can walk around and they'll tell you what's sold and what's available, mm-hmm. what's coming in. And then you can pull out.
Yes, with that big machine that makes me very nervous.
Very nervous. And it basically it's flying slabs of stone.
It's like a claw that sits in the middle of the stone and you're like, is it going to drop? No, it's fine. Is it going to drop? No, it's fine. And it doesn't.
No.
But it's yet amazing.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking.
But yeah, so then they'll bring out that slab that you were asking for and you can kind of verify, check it. So some people will find that really fun, like you and mm-hmm. me. Other people might find that overwhelming, so bring someone who's good yeah, at making decisions.
Absolutely.
And that's basically what I do when I'm selecting a stone.
My process is the same as that. I'll always look at the large picture that's online, and usually most stone suppliers will have the big stone picture as well. And if they don't, you can always email them and they'll send it through. That's the same thing I'll do. I'll get the small sample, make sure that the color within the stone is right. So if I'm looking for a warmer base or a more cooler gray base, I'll use that small sample to make sure that that is the correct base, I guess, before you kind of go and spend any more time booking appointments and traveling out to Altona and that sort of thing. Usually, you know, you get a slice of the veining, even if it's not, you know, lots of it, you'll see the variance in the color in there, particularly with a quite a busy marble, I suppose, and then take it from there. And then I go out and see them and pick the slab and probably get really excited.
And give them all your money.
Give them all my money.
Take it away from me.
Lock it in, Eddie.
So this is the other thing that I find with stone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a massive variation. So you Huge. Can get stones that cost $1,000 a square meter,
yep.
and you can get stones that cost, you know, 100 and something.
180, yeah.
$180 a square yep. meter.
Yep.
And it's about knowing what you're asking for and understanding your budget. The other thing to think about is the slab size.
Yeah, so the slab size, of course, is going to dictate whether or not you need a join. So if you've got a 3.5-meter island bench,
then you're going to be very limited in your slabs.
You are. You're going to need a join. So most slabs are around 2.9 to 3.1, usually around about 1,200 wide. So knowing that, a lot of people can either decide, okay, well, if my bench is 3.2 but my slab's 3.1, maybe I'll just shorten my bench by 100 mil, then I've got a beautiful single piece
yeah.
of stone.
I think 1,200 is a manufactured stone. I'm pretty sure they're more like 1.8.
Are they?
It depends. I mean, this is the thing. You can get smaller bits because it's natural.
Yes, that's right.
You can get smaller pieces. You can yep. get bigger pieces. And then so if you then think about that and how your bench top sits. So if you've got a 600 bench
mm-hmm.
and a splashback,
yep.
how are you going to utilize that piece of stone to maximize what's in it? And if you got any leftover offcuts, and can you put them in a bar or in
yeah,
a-
absolutely. And that's like, that's really key, I think, when I speak to people, is that they don't know that you when you buy stone, you pay for an entire slab.
Yeah, you have to.
So you buy that slab no matter what. You use a tiny bit for a bench, like a bar for an example. You've got that remaining stone left. Utilize it somewhere else in the yeah. house. Absolutely.
Yeah, use- even steps. I like them in steps.
Yeah, steps is beautiful.
Or around door reveals. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
Fireplaces, marble mm-hmm. fireplaces,
mm-hmm.
chopping boards. anything to use it up. But you're right, because it's kind of like cut and paste. You're kind of trying to piece together. So sometimes we'll do, I know I did it here. We did a 400 mil upstand. It's 400?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 400 upstand in the stone to use, because that's what I had left.
Yeah.
And then I put some beautiful tiles above it.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't – like you could do it either way. It's just yeah. about incorporating it into your design and being efficient.
Yeah, but having the knowledge as well that you have that whole slab to play with. So working out those dimensions, working out where it will fit, where it will sit, how you can use those extra pieces. Yeah, I think that's quite empowering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, stone's fun. We hope you've enjoyed it.
We love stone.
We love stone. That we do. All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed delving into one area of interior design, and we've got a whole heap of these different topics coming up. So
yes.
Look out for them.
Thank you.